This is Patch Tuesday for December 9, 2008. I'm Chad Rosenberg, and with me as always is Wolfgang Kandek, CTO of Qualys, and Amol Sarwati, Manager of Vulnerability Research Lab at Qualys. Guys, what is most significant about today's release?
Hey Chad, how's it going? This is Wolfgang. Good to talk to you again.
Great.
Hey Chad, this is Amol. Yep, good to be here. So, okay, let's do the numbers as we do, and then we can dive into the details of it. How does that sound?
Sounds like a good idea, Amol.
So, last podcast of the year, last Patch Tuesday of the year, but by no means I think it's the the smallest podcast or Patch Tuesday of the year. What we had today was 8 security vulnerabilities released from Microsoft that addressed a total of 28 different issues, ranging from, and again we'll dive more into details about it as we talk, but ranging from client-side software like Word, Excel, GDI, as well as SharePoint and some of Windows components. So how do you want to dissect this, Wolfgang?
Oh, well, yeah, I think too, we all day we've been working on this, and we've kind of established a ranking of what's most critical or for us the most interesting ones, maybe for our customers the most critical ones. So I think on the top of our list is MS08071. It's a vulnerability in the graphics subsystem of Windows. And when you visualize Windows meta files or graphics format through the web or through in any other program, but the web is probably the most interesting vector here, your machine can be compromised. So we've seen that in the past, I think, Amol.
Yes, we have seen this multiple times. So I think, we have seen it as 3 years ago when the first WMF bug hit us, and I think that was exploited by a image coming into a advertisement on one of the website's banner. So people who just viewed the advertisement on that website got affected. So this is, as you said, by no means a new vulnerability, but yes, we are still seeing vulnerabilities in WMF. And the reason, as you said, it's number one is because GDI, this component, is part of the operating system. It comes, it has to be there for Windows to be there. It's on all Windows operating systems, and the exploit vector is very, very simple to exploit. The victim just needs to view a bitmap or basically not a bitmap, but a image, a WMF image.
So what strikes me as so unnecessary there, that is, I don't really see WMF used all that much on the internet. I think it's a lot, it sees a decent amount of usage internally, like in Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, where you pull in that clip art and you use it, but it's actually totally unnecessary, in my opinion, to have it in the browser. It probably would not impact your browsing experience at all if it wasn't there. So it's just an attack vector, and maybe there's other ways of fixing it or actually specifically prohibiting certain programs to open WMF. But that's not what we have right now. What we have is a patch for this one and a generic workaround that disallows WMF totally in your system, which I've actually activated on my laptop here. Just for testing, but that actually prevents you also from using these WMF files in Word and PowerPoint. For me, that's not a big deal, but I could see how across normal commercial customers that could be a problem.
That's a good point. I mean, actually, if you do not need, or if one doesn't need PowerPoint clip arts or WMF files in Word, then it makes total sense in disabling WMF altogether, because I don't think it will affect the web browsing experience, and then in that way you are protected from all the future WMF vulnerabilities, because we have seen quite some of those in the past.
Yeah. Hey, next on our list, MS08070. That's an interesting one, actually. It's a Visual Basic ActiveX components that are there, and I think the main interesting thing there for us was it's not really a client-side vulnerability. These these ActiveX get delivered to you by application providers, and those application providers would actually have to patch their applications. It's kind of this third party is in there. And I guess internally we just don't have a lot of confidence in these third parties that they actually do a good job of patching the applications and coming up to the latest level. So we see that definitely as a serious and different attack vector.
And yeah, especially when a lot of people, when they are, when the browser asks them if they want to install an ActiveX, they just, go ahead and say yes, install, and attackers could write their ActiveX controls that make use of this vulnerability and basically take control of the machine.
So you mean actually, that's a good point. So a malicious person, an attacker could actually set up a website specifically with those vulnerable controls and lure you to that thing by providing a real good value, managing something for you. Oh, okay, that's a good point. Other than that, what do we have? Word, Excel, Internet Explorer, that's all pretty normal. Windows Media, that's pretty normal. There's two other ones, Search, only in Vista 2008, that's MS-08-075. That's an interesting one because, well, Windows XP and Windows 2003 are not vulnerable, and Vista in 2008 are vulnerable. So that means it's new code, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is brand new code developed by, like, under all the secure software guideline and all the secure stuff.
Yeah, so that's, I guess that's the main point here. So even though Microsoft has invested a lot of money into making the development secure, there's still ways to find them. I believe those were found by private researchers as well. We would have been expecting some more focus on Vista all along, so I think that's coming true. And brings us, I guess, to our last one, MS-08-077, SharePoint. Right, that's different from all the others, right, Amol?
Yes, it's different in the sense everyone knows what SharePoint is, and the way this vulnerability is exploited is basically one just goes and accesses some link on SharePoint, which is actually some administrative pages on SharePoint, and SharePoint does not validate these links correctly. So if someone has SharePoint server running, then all it needs is an attacker to go and try to access that particular link over the web to basically compromise the server.
Yeah, so this is actually a web application vulnerability, not really inside the operating system. It's just that it's not being validated correctly. SharePoint is one of those softwares that encourage collaboration, and I think we'll see more and more of them as companies are trying to install these productivity tools, and we'll probably see more focus on that type of vulnerability as well. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. We had the usual suspects in here. I think Amol mentioned Excel was actually one of the major vulnerabilities this year. And that's it for the summary.
So a lot of separate issues, some of them not really related. Who is most impacted?
So I think as we saw during the year, a lot of different audience is impacted. In today's release, actually, a lot of people using Word, Excel, so basically your typical office users are impacted. In case of the GDI vulnerability, as we mentioned, all Windows users are affected because GDI is basically the component that displays all the graphics in Windows, so everyone is impacted. So in today's release, I would say everyone is impacted for the GDI. Typical office applications like Word, Excel, or even IE are impacted. We do not have a server-side vulnerability today.
Are these vulnerabilities exploitable remotely, and are any threatened by zero-day exploits?
So in most of the vulnerabilities require user intervention for exploiting. So in case of the GDI vulnerability, someone has to lure you to go and view image on some website. Or in case of the Word or the Excel vulnerability, someone has to either send you a Word or Excel file as an attachment, or again lure you to view it online. Same goes for the Internet Explorer as well as the Windows component vulnerability. So none of them are, I would say, remotely exploitable as in the traditional sense of remote exploitation, other than maybe the SharePoint vulnerability, where an attacker could access a SharePoint server on his own will and there is no as such user intervention required.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The SharePoint one is the only one that is different. Anybody can basically try that out and see if they can get to the SharePoint or to the admin part of it and see what is accessible and what can be changed by doing that.
So other than turning off the WMF in the browser, what can users do to prevent these vulnerabilities?
So there are quite a number of workarounds in the Microsoft bulletins, as well as other workarounds that are pretty well known. For the GDI one, as you pointed, Chad, yes, you could turn off WMF, and it would basically hurt functionality when you're using clip arts from Word and PowerPoints, but shouldn't really affect your browsing experience a whole lot. For the Visual Basic vulnerability, as with a lot of ActiveX vulnerabilities, there is a kill bit provided by Microsoft, so it again basically it doesn't give you all the features, but then you're saved against the vulnerability. In general, we recommend patching as the first step, because no matter how many vulnerabilities we had from Word, Excel, and others throughout the year, they are important vulnerabilities and they should be patched as soon as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree. Patching is the right thing to do. It's the easy thing to do for home users and for corporate users. All these workarounds tend to be very, very technical, and it really requires some good insight into deciding whether that's possible or not to deploy that workaround. So the easiest thing is to patch. I don't think the traditional antivirus solutions, anti-malware solutions, are helping a whole lot of with these vulnerabilities, because they tend to lag behind. So patching is the cheapest way to get around this.
And also general awareness, as in when you get emails from unknown sources, you do not open attachments, or do not even open attachments from emails from known sources that you do not expect, because emails can easily be spoofed. So there are a lot of general guidelines. Do not, you know, click browse, which is basically click on links in the emails to browse. Always use bookmarks in your web browser, so you definitely know you are going to the correct website that you intend to go. So apart from these sort of common sense safe browsing things, I think we would recommend patching.
Patching, yeah. But Chad, it's extremely difficult, I have to say. If you look in the past months, maybe one of the headlines was that the Department of Defense prohibiting flash drives. Yeah, they've been spreading malware through the use of flash drives, and the problem there is many times when you plug in that flash drive into your machine, Windows auto plays a file on it, which then can automatically just infect you. So it's another vector. So this is just a problem that's becoming bigger and bigger. Conscious use will be important, and I guess that's what Amal was saying. Just don't do it, I guess, would be the thing. Just don't open that email and look at it, however interesting it might be. But I'm not sure how well we're doing in that fight against that here.
Yeah, I mean, the example that Wolfgang gave was excellent, because that means that you cannot just lock your laptop and walk away. As long as you have your USB drive available, your laptop can always be compromised, even if you lock it and walk away, because someone could just walk in and enter a flash drive and again affect your machine.
Interesting. So as we wrap up 2008, can you guys talk a little bit about what were the trends this year, and also what kind of vulnerabilities are expected for the next year?
So in 2008, I think we saw a lot of local exploits, exploiting vulnerabilities like Word, Excel, Internet Explorer. These are typical client-side vulnerabilities, as we say. And actually, if you do the math, Excel was the number one software in all the Office productivity suite that had the most critical vulnerabilities issued against it. So these were all file format vulnerabilities, and it just tells us how prevalent Excel file format vulnerabilities are. The other things that we saw was there was also a little bit increase in old school type of vulnerabilities. So remote vulnerabilities, we saw Dan Kaminsky's DNS exploit. There were every alternate patch Tuesday, there used to be a remote vulnerability either in server service or ICMP, IGMP. That was the first bulletin of this year. So another little trend I would say is that as compared to last year, at least we had a little spike in remote vulnerabilities.
Yeah, what I would expect for next year is basically the collaboration softwares to take more hold. I can see that our web use is ever growing. Things like Facebook, access to Facebook, ad serving and things like that, which go very, very strongly into that GDI type vulnerability. So I think it will be extremely important that we do something around there. There's a number of vendors that are coming out with things. I think virtualization, sandboxing are interesting technologies that, for example, Google is pushing, and I would expect Microsoft to do something in there. Maybe IE8 can be good for that and be more robust than IE6 and IE7 have been. So that's what I'm looking forward for too. Certainly, Google Chrome is going to be an interesting. I continue to think that's interesting. I've been a little bit disappointed in the last couple months. I think they would do more in that area and become a real competitive browser. They've not done that yet. But so I'm not holding my breath. But I think in 2009 we see Google Chrome coming more to the mainstream and pushing the boundaries here.
Also we have then a new version of Windows that the successor of Vista coming along, so we expect some vulnerabilities in that area. And also one subject that Wolfgang already touched was, as you know, a lot of companies are shifting their focus by delivering services over the web. And a lot of new technologies like, say, Microsoft Silverlight or Adobe Air are coming into picture that deliver rich contents in the browser. And that is one of the areas where a lot of vulnerability research have been done till now. And we expect that as more and more companies start delivering products using things like Adobe Air or Silverlight, there could be more and more vulnerabilities found in those areas.
Yeah, I think, Amol, that's a great point, actually. There were a couple presentations in recent Black Hat conferences about how powerful Flash and Air and the competing Silverlight from Microsoft is. So people can deliver to your browser a very, very complete and powerful application, and that while it may be disguised as a game that you play, it might be scoping out your network and transmitting attack-worthy information back to the command and control center where it comes from. So I think we'll see lots of interesting things. It continues to be a very dynamic space. We will not be out of work next year yet, Amol. That's good for us, I think, and we'll see how all this develops.
Well, thank you both for your time, and we'll see you next year. Interested listeners can get more information on December's Patch Tuesday release at www.qualys.com.